I believe that this is the wrong signal to the world at the wrong time, piled on top of the discriminatory aspect, that is the so-called Buy America provision aspect of the investment tax credit, and the imposition of the 10% surcharge on imports, and the fear of the world in respect of its apparently inability as yet to come to agreement with us on currency realignment, that the U.S. is going protectionist and isolationist, this kind of a broad mandate of power confirms all of those fears.
I think the difference is that our country, through the Secretary of State, feels that there is an arms balance now, and that the sale of jets to Israel would be the wrong signal to the Arabs about our interest in a negotiated settlement. And we think that that would be the right signal to the Arabs, and that's the fulcrum of the difference.
Suddenly find that there's really no governmental authority for the inspection of what are called dams, really enormous slag piles dumped in a consolidated place, like this one, which gave way and killed so many people and inflicted such enormous damage and was such a tragedy. And there are apparently quite a few of them. The estimate runs as high as 120. And yet when you ask the state authorities to what extent has anybody asked for a permit to build any, they come up with about 20 permits. So it looks like a rather small percentage of the total is under permit, so that somebody could look at the plans and see that the dam would really stand up. Then when you push a little further and see what happens when a dam is laid down without the plans being approved by the Public Service Commission of West Virginia, you find that it's a misdemeanor and that the local prosecutor has to deal with it. And when you press that, you find that as far as the witness knows, nobody's been prosecuted. So under those circumstances, this terrible tragedy, that is a situation which was the basis for it, seems to have fallen between a lot of government departments, but nobody had the ball. And it may very well be that the only way to tighten it up is by federal legislation.
Senator, I believe under questioning by you this morning, there was testimony that there were no prosecutions by any state agency in West Virginia against the coal company in question.
Exactly right.
Now, since it's engaged in interstate commerce, is there any federal handle on it there?
There may be, but we have been unable to ascertain that on the short notice that we've had, and we really have to look into that, but it looks doubtful that there is a federal authority immediately at hand. The Coal Mine Safety Act deals with, which is a national bill with which I had a good deal to do myself, deals with safety in or near the mine and the mine operation, and apparently doesn't reach this far, at least our preliminary inquiry would indicate that.
I deprecate very much the idea that our defense budget is going to be increased because of what we've undertaken in Vietnam, and kind of a fatalistic acceptance of the fact that you cannot materially reduce the defense budget by arms limitation agreements. I do not believe that surrender, and indeed I believe that if you kept up the pyramiding of the arms budget and the arms race between ourselves and the Soviet Union, that would be a much worse surrender, to wit, a surrender to the inevitability of World War III. So I hope that the spirit of our government will be a spirit of encouraging arms limitation and expecting major budgetary and financial benefits from arms limitation, so that as this applies not only to our people but to the Soviet people as well.
Well, I think President Nixon should win re-election against Senator McGovern, if Senator McGovern is the candidate, finally, simply by virtue of the fact that the president has tremendous accomplishments to its credit. It's well known that I have differences with the president, for example, on Vietnam and on other matters. But when you stack that up against the historic breakthroughs of Peking and Moscow, the enormous effort to stem inflation, which is represented in the price and wage control and the way it's operated, the enormous welfare reform, the revenue sharing, and the general feeling of strength and stability in the White House, the balance weighs extremely heavily in President Nixon's favor. I think the American people will realize that and will feel that he deserves re-election.
Yeah, I credit him with complete sincerity. He's doing what he thinks he ought to do in the interests of the country, is to tie tags to people because of their ideological beliefs, which generally are because they're liberal in those beliefs. And I don't think that adds to the substance of the debate or serves to present a positive program and to help put such a program through to the country. This is no dump Agnew movement. I'm not leading any such movement because I have stated myself, without answers to questions, that if Agnew is the man that President Nixon wants, then I will stay with President Nixon and the ticket.
I want the agreement approved without amendment, if that's humanly possible. And I believe the representations of the President made on June 15, 72, in person and through Dr. Kissinger, are more than adequate to assure every American that there will be parity in offensive weaponry in any agreement that we make to succeed this interim agreement, and which is negotiated in the meantime.
Well, Senator, what do you see behind Senator Jackson's efforts to attach reservations to it?
Well, I simply see the real purpose of it. I don't know what Senator Jackson's intent is, and I credit him with the highest motives. He very sincerely has reservations on this interim agreement. But to me, I think the end result will be to put it in such jeopardy as to nullify what we're trying to do, to wit, a freeze on offensive weaponry for 5 years to give us a chance to negotiate a permanent limitation agreement.
Well, Senator, apparently Senator Aiken has said Mr. Nixon has got to speak out personally and explain just what's going on with this interim agreement. He's upset now because of the Jackson move.
Well, the Foreign Relations Committee has met and discussed this whole situation, and the chairman and Senator Aiken have the views of the committee in hand. I can't really comment on Senator Aiken's feelings about the matter, except to say that that the assurances the president has given are very adequate. If Senator Jackson wishes them repeated, I assume the president could repeat them. But to amend the resolution approving this agreement in the way that Senator Jackson wishes to would, in my judgment, absolutely prejudice the whole likelihood of its being the real preliminary to a SALT agreement limiting nuclear offensive armament, and therefore dismantle a great deal of what the president has already constructed in such a brilliant way.